sexy people of the internet. It's Dave, it's Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Finnish progressive metal band Wheel.
Can I pick anything right tonight?
The band's new album, Charismatic Leaders, will be released on May 3rd via Inside Out Music. Charismatic Leaders. These are the dictators, demagogues and false idols who around the world at this very moment are stoking division and igniting war in the name of nothing but self-gain. They're also the unmistakable target of Wheel's new album of the same name, a seven-song prog metal opus that strives for all things right in a world gone wrong. Since forming in 2015, Wheel have swiftly grown from underdogs of Helsinki, Finland, to an international tour de force. The angular riffs, unforgettable melodies, and adventurous scope.
Unforgettable memories.
remember that time? Let's reminisce. About 2019's debut, Moving Backwards, was instantly adored by fans of megastars from Tool to Coheed and Cambria. Then 2021 follow-up Resident Human received rave reviews from publications across the planet, praising its sonic evolution and bravely dystopian themes. Charismatic Leaders was meticulously crafted to meet Wheel's ever-heightening benchmarks. Its songs date as far back as 2020, and recording with engineers, co-producers Daniel Bergstrand and Fredrik Thorndahl of Meshuggah.
Oh. A name you don't hear enough of.
The end result, mixed by Forrester Savell, who's also worked with Carnival and Tesseract, has consolidated all the gains of what came before. Wheel's third album represents their heaviest and most conscious music to date. So, Duncan.
Dave.
2023 was a bit of a year for prog.
Well, see, I think it was a bit of a year of prog for non-prog fans. Like, I think we got on board the prog train, but there was a lot of people already on there and had been on there for a while. I felt like last year I understood the genre a little bit better. And I want to stress, I've always been conscious and open to prog metal, but there is a very, very minuscule amount of bands that can hold my attention in that genre, specifically when melding the metal side with the prog side. I tend to find that that's an unhelpful, unhealthy and uneven balancing act that a lot of bands do. There are very few like genuine players in that circle that to me manage to kind of handle that balancing act well. Tool, as you mentioned before, probably being the pinnacle of that. If there was a Mount Everest for prog metal bands, Tool's probably at the top of that. I know some people will argue that maybe they're not the best, but like Tool can release an album like after 8 years and it will instantly like sell like multi-millions, and that's because they're Tool. I think we got on it because I think there was a lot of bands releasing stuff specifically on this label that were really, really interesting hybrids of the metal and the prog side while showing huge amounts of dexterity without getting too quirky as well. That's the other thing. It's like, here's a xylophone for no reason. The xylophone indicates a small dormouse climbing up a mountain. And you're like, really? Like, there's times I get lost a little bit. But we found our footing. I don't know if we can say that 2024 is going to be the year of prog.
It's been kind of slow so far.
Very slow. I mean, this is month five. I suppose you could say
Ishan probably, but again, it's kind of mixed with more extreme side as well.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's extreme prog.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It has been a slow start. But then again, like Haken released an album early on, and then I think we're a good few months before more proggy stuff started coming out. So.
Yeah. So, is the new album from Wheel the new prog release we've been waiting for in 2024, Duncan. Is it? Is it? Tell me, is it?
So one, like the fact I finished just blows my fucking mind. I mean,
oh, really?
Doesn't even computer make sense. These guys sound American. Like, as American as fucking apple pie. And, like, you know, regular fucking sunsets. Finland has, like, Finland is so close to the North Pole that has that whole, like, fucking 30 days a night shit. Where, like, the sun doesn't set and shit like that. Also have, weird, I know a lot of Finnish facts. Finland consume more, Finnish people consume more coffee per head of population per capita than any other country in the world.
Oh, what's the deal with that?
I'm assuming it's because the sun doesn't set for a huge swath through there and they have to kind of keep themselves awake. But they do, they drink an abnormal amount of coffee per their population. Weird facts that Duncan knows.
You'd fit right in. You'd fit right in.
Well, this is, maybe that's why I knew that fact. It's like, where can I be comfortable and not judged by my co-hosts? Finland. So yeah, like, there's an elephant in the room here. Let's talk about the elephant, is wheels sound an awful lot like Tool.
They do. Right? They do.
They do. And but I'm going to say, to their credit, they embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right down to, there are sections in here that remind me of whole sections in Tool songs.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to the Freeze, specifically, the Freeze has elements that sound like they've been not copied. That's unfair. Mm. Influenced in the songwriting style of tracks from 10,000 Days. There are other things in here that have shades of The Grudge from Lateralis.
Mm.
And those comparisons come less vocally, I would think. I don't think this guy sims that much like Maynard James Keenan, but it's more specifically in the kind of the Adam Jones and the other cunt I can't remember, the guitar side. Like, drumming wise, this guy ain't Dara Carey, and I kind of like that about him. I like how conventional he is as a drummer. I think it works much better for their sound. In the same way, you mentioned another band that was on the tip of my tongue in comparison to this one. There's Swaths of Carnival in here.
Yes.
So it's like Carnival, yes, like shagging Tool.
Yep.
And then the baby is Wheel. And I, like, you're just mentioning two bands there that I fucking adore.
Yeah.
And we're putting them together. And actually, it turns out Charismatic Leaders is an album I really fucking like. Like, they are two flavors of ice cream that sit really nice together. Or, like, fucking, I don't know, like a double bill movie feature that you really want to watch. I think those two styles, whilst being one on the much more conventional, much more commercial side, and one being on that kind of more proggy but still accessible side, melding together actually creates something that is surprisingly easy to listen to. This album isn't short, but it isn't long either, by like kind of proggy rock out. Like, we talking about the year of prog, the two albums I think we reviewed last year, highest in that genre, both albums were like spitting distance to the hour, if not maybe a little bit over. This one isn't over 50 minutes, which is a huge asset to it overall. In fact, it comes in about 46, 47 minutes overall, but still has the girth and the length of tracks that will happily go over, you know, the 6-7 minutes. Longest track on here is track 3. It is like a fucking cunt hair off 11 minutes. But it's then followed, not by a short song, by the second longest song on the album, which is 9 minutes. Oh, and by the way, the preceding track is the third longest, if you remove the Freeze at the end, and we're going to come back to that at the end, because it's the last song. What I love about this is the build. These guys are really, really good at giving you an idea, giving you a variation on that idea, and then letting the track settle in before building to something enormous at the end. And every track kind of follows that formula in the best possible way. It's what Tool do, and Tool do it really well, where they give you a concept or a theme, and as a listener, it's a hook. There's an earworm, or there's something on the guitar, and you settle in on that. And the track like moves a little bit, and you follow that movement, and it starts to expand out with layers, and then it settles down, and then you get a build that you don't realise is actually happening. It's kind of like the frog in the hot water. Your cold water slowly boiling, you don't realise it's building to something until it enthralls you, encapsulates you, and then gives you something fucking huge at the end. That's their template. They're really fucking good at it. I found, like, even on the tracks that went longer, they're very, very happy to let you sit with an idea.
Yeah.
Submission is the longest track here, notwithstanding closing track. Like I said, we're going to come back to that one. And it's the one that kind of felt a little bit Lateralis era Tool. Builds up in a way with some guitar work, some vocals come over, then like we get some more instrumentation builds around. We take that riff for a walk. We take those ideas for a little bit of walk, a little bit of sightseeing, and then we bring it back. Going to have a wee coffee, a wee sit down, and then like push things back up. By the time it comes to the end of submission, you feel like you've been on a real, don't want to say it, but I'm going to, journey with the, like, it finishes on these huge kind of boom. It's like fucking the drummer's just hitting things slowly. The guitar riffs are ringing out. Vocally, it's soaring higher than like you expected it to go. But it's just like supreme confidence in their songwriting all the way right through. And it's kind of hard not to be excited by that. The production on this aids it tenfold over. This is one of these productions where it kind of feels like, had you told me they were on Pelagic, I would have been like, yes, yes, they are. Because it sounds fucking huge. This sounds like you should be sitting in an auditorium. The band should be out on stage playing. Maybe there's a symphony in front of them, just giving like fucking like extra boomph. Maybe there's a choir in the background adding extra elements. It just sounds fucking massive. It's actually like surprisingly well nuanced as well as an album. I think they really know when they've pushed an idea as far as it can go, and then they'll rein it in a little bit more. The kind of penultimate song on here is Caught in the Afterglow, which is this a 1 minute and a spit of a song, really. And it's, it might as well be part of the Freeze. I like the fact they split it up where they're like that. No, the Freeze is already like 10 minutes 30 odd long, so we'll just make this a wee separate track. It's a Tool technique. You listen to Parable and Parabola. That's one song, right? Well, you can shape it any way you want. It's one fucking song. It's the same guitar riffs, they're just played clean. It's the same chorus melody, just sung slower. And then that track kicks in, but it's a separate track. The genius of that is if you just want to hear the heavy bit, you just skip to the heavy bit. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can do that as well. But Caught in the Afterglow is, it's a track that kind of meanders slowly through clean tones, and then you swing into the closing track, which is the Freeze. What's interesting about the Freeze is it doesn't instantly start off with a punch, which surprised me, because the Tool technique would be that the next song would hit you with distortion and would kick right in. So confident are they in their songwriting, for better or worse, on the final track, which I have slight gripes with. It sits in that kind of quiet tone for quite a while, like building up. Like, we are, I think we are like about the 3 minute mark before you actually get a bit of drums. You know, like when it starts to actually build things in, which means realistically, if you're using Caught in the Afterglow into that one, you've had about 4 minutes of cleans and build. And then when the build comes in with the drums, it's still building. Like, it's not like boom and we're in. It's still like, oh, here's just a wee bit of percussion here and some more instrumentation, some backing vocals, and we're going to build it in, which once again just shows confidence to me. It's the track that's the one where I felt we were most like having a barbecue with Tool. I keep mentioning them because it's difficult to, and I throw this accusation out almost every single time when a band uses anything that sounds Tool-esque. Gojira is another band where they have such distinct sounds that if you start to even remotely emulate them, your attention is drawn.
Yeah,
it's not a distraction, but it's clearly an influence, and it's a broad influence, and it's strong. It's like, it's, oh, this would be tattooed on their sleeve. This would just be like a sleeve. It's cool though, but it does feel the most like they are trying to sound like another band, which is why I wanted to leave it to the end. I like it as a track. I think The Freeze is a great closing. We mentioned this as a phrase earlier on. So a track that feels like finality on it. And I think it brings in all the stuff they've done before in a really punchy, long form, actionable statement at the end where you come to the end. Supremely confidently written, supremely performed. Vocals that are like fucking honey in the ears, man. They soar and they are almost boundless in the way that he just can hook like phrasing and syllables in just really, really interesting ways. Musically, very, very powerful, excellently produced. Yeah, I mean, I'd never heard these guys before, so I don't know if this is a step up or a step down or what the whole thing. As a standalone album, as a first time listen for me, when I got to the end, I was like, it's fucking great. Like I had very few gripes out with. I knew exactly who their influences were, and I could like, I could tick the moments off that reminded me of them.
Yeah.
There's innumerable bands that I like that I can hear like directly who their influences are from their sound. That's kind of what you do as a band. Yeah, this is a really, really, really well put together album. Sim's fucking massive.
Yeah.
And as a first time listener to Wheel, I am a fan. I like there's
nice. Excellent.
It's a Duncan phrase, it's a bit Warden, we like to put on t-shirts, but there really is genuinely a lot to like about this album. It's hard not to like it. And like genuinely, I like my faults are it reminds me of other bands, but there are other bands I fucking love. Yeah. So like it reminds me of things I like how dear this album. You know what I mean? I like what we're doing here. How did you get on? Because you are a Carnival fan. You ain't the biggest Tool fan, though, Dave.
I came around to Tool in the end. But Wheel have been on my radar for a few years.
Why don't you just fucking keeping them to yourself, eh? No sharing the wealth here.
I don't think I heard the first album when it came out, but I'd heard Resident Human, which was their second album. So I had an idea of kind of what to expect. And then I went back to listen to Moving Backwards, which is the first album.
Jesus Christ.
And you could hear the progression from that first album to the second album was huge. Like they had clearly been kind of honing their craft between those albums. That last album, Resident Human, had heavy moments, but maybe it wasn't overall as heavy as their first release. More accomplished for sure, but maybe not as aggressive as Moving Backwards. So I was interested to hear where they were going to go with this one. And Charismatic Leaders, they've certainly upped the heaviness on this one. The first track, Empire, I was like, what in the fucking Lamb of God is happening right now? Because like it kicks off with this like southern metal groove. I was like, what is happening? What's going on?
What in the Lamb of God's happening here?
Like, yes, please, sir, can I have some more? but it was like, quickly it became kind of apparent that it was still a Wheel album, and those like proggy, twisty kind of rhythms start to kind of bleed into the song. And there's a definite shift towards something more, going to do air quotes again, metal on this release. And that comes from a few things, like definitely the guitar sound in terms of like, the production it's got and the kind of force of the riffs, it's definitely heavier. There's more kind of chunky kind of parts on this album. That's
the bass sits comfortably underneath it as well, where you feel that chunk, 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 chunk. You know
what I mean? Yeah, it's right in your grill. But I love the way they've kind of positioned those kind of chunky elements throughout the album, in amongst all the, those kind of like proggy, kind of jerky kind of rhythms that they do. And like if I had, like yourself, if I had to liken this to something, it did remind me very much of the kind of like proggy twists and turns of Tool. With all that, it's got a lot of like percussion and kind of building parts, like Tool, like heavy tom work as well, like a thing that Tool do. But then you've got like these melodic hooks that are kind of very Carnival-esque. Some of the heavier parts actually reminded me a little bit of early Clone as well at times. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That takes me back. And like that mix for me is like, it's a winning formula. Like it gave me everything I wanted from Wheel. I like this heavier side of their sound. The move towards something more meaty was like just what the Doctor ordered. But I think Wheel's melodic side is highly underrated. And here they kind of tapped into something brilliant on this album. Those big vocal moments are incredible. The singer James has the kind of like the flexibility of like a Maynard, but with like the soulfulness of like Ian Kenny from Carnival. Mm-hmm. And that combination is just gold. Like I thought some of the choruses on this, some of those big notes on like tracks like Saboteur were incredible, like stunning job vocally on this album. But even though this is a heavier release from Wheel, they haven't forgotten the fans that do love that kind of softer side of the band. I thought Porcelain was fucking awesome. Like such a
good song, man.
Amazing. Like it's got an emotional streak to it. The guitars are driving, but they're not overpowering. And the kind of story arc of that track is just so well executed. The chorus is one of the best on the album. I absolutely love the chorus. A little bit of a Haken vibe in the chorus, mm-hmm. Like kind of newer, like Fauna type kind of Haken. But it never feels like Wheel are piecing together sounds from other bands. Like they have influences clearly, but they are kind of skilled enough to put their own kind of stamp on it as well at the same time.
Yeah, you can't just like, well, it's like when people moan about Quentin Tarantino just like cherry picking like all these scenes from all these movies that he likes.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a cohesive movie.
Yeah.
Just like picking a Tool riff and putting it beside a Carnival riff doesn't make a song.
No, and that's the thing. Like Wheel are also kind of incorporating their own sound into this as well. Mm-hmm. There's parts of this album that sound nothing like those bands that I've mentioned.
Yeah.
One of those kind of elements, I think, for me was the lead work. I think, like, it's very much a kind of Wheel element when it comes to the sound and the style of the album. It adds a huge amount of kind of complexity and nuance to this album that without it, I think, would be just completely lacking of something. It would be not nearly as interesting or as layered as it is without that lead work. The lead work is phenomenally done. Like before on previous albums, Wheel are also not afraid just to get into the weeds on something as well, you know, just dive into a big 10-minute epic. And I like how they place those tracks throughout the album, but they also have like shorter tracks in between them. Mm-hmm. So it never becomes too long-winded to an extent. I think the tracks also tend to sound completely different, like from what came before or after it as well. So at no point did I feel like, oh, we just merged into the same track. I thought like the closing track, The Freeze, which is like 10 and a half minutes or something, such an epic. Like it's one of those tracks that slowly builds, takes its time, never really jumps the gun. And then just when the time is right, they launch into just this huge killer riff.
And you're primed for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're fully, by tape, when they give it to you, you are at your most, it's like Edge and Dave, right? when they finally give it to you, that's when you want to go, right? So, and it does, like, it's a track that expertly dances on the head of a pin.
Yeah.
Like going 30 seconds after or 30 seconds before, I think is detrimental to the placement of that song and the sound overall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It lands exactly when it needs to, and that's smart song, right?
Yeah. I think there's a production kind of trick they use on that track as well when the track drops into that big kind of groove riff, which is awesome. There's something in the background, I don't know if it's maybe a synth or something they're using, and it goes like kind of distorted and it's kind of going from ear to ear.
Yeah.
So it feels like when that drops, it feels like everything's just kind of erupting basically when that happens. But it was really cool. It really kind of landed with some impact when they did that. I thought it was a really good idea. To be honest, like there's not a lot to complain about on this release at all. There were no tracks that I disliked really. Mm-hmm. They all had like a moment that stuck with me after it was finished. Weirdly, Submission was maybe the one that I felt, you said that they took the riffs on a walk, and I felt like the walk went on a wee bit too long at times.
They do go for a walk.
Yeah, they do. that's the only track that I was like, all right, okay, this is cool, but I kind of feel like I wanted them to kind of wrap it up a bit quicker. It is a great ending. Can't argue with you on that. But it's got that kind of like that journey of a length to it, you know. It's just, and it did become a little bit repetitive for me in the second half. But great vocal moments throughout the track, though. That aside, like, I have very little to complain about on this, and that kind of more punchy production they've got, it just kind of seals the deal on this album, to be honest. Thoroughly enjoyed this one. It's probably the, like, as we said, Ishan's already had one out, which is a bit more extreme, but I think it's this one is probably the best kind of prog album that I've heard so far in 2024. So, scores for Charismatic Leaders, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's like you said, it ticks all the boxes, it gives you what you want, it's not too long, it's ambitious without being too grand that it loses its vision. I give this a 4. I think this is really, really, really strong. They're on my radar. I have no frame of reference in terms of their back catalogue to compare it to.
Yeah.
So to me, this kind of feels like a band that have strong influences. They're in their sound. They're not really... They're paying homage by taking those influences through. They're not directly acquiring or ripping off that sound. But it sounds massive, sounds huge. Like, these are the sort of guys you want to see in a big fucking venue and just feel that force. Definitely on my radar. 4 out of 5 for me.
Nice. I'm going to go 4.5. I think, like, out of their catalogue, I think this is probably my favourite release that we've had from the band. I do prefer this kind of heavier side, just personally, but I think they've nailed it on this. I think the hooks are great, the riffs are awesome, the production's awesome. As I said, not really much to complain about with this one. I really enjoyed it. So, The Wheel, or Wheel, Charismatic Leaders, out on May 3rd on Inside Out Music. Links below. Check it out. Have a listen. See what you think. That is a review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.